Welcome to Highly Questionable. I'm Katie Nolan. That's my Golic Jr., Izzy Gutierrez. We're going to try to see the forest through the trees. There it is.
Is it through or four?
Four? Forest for the... You can't see the forest through the... I don't know. It doesn't really make any sense. Let's just do sports stuff.
Just look at me.
Should Rockets fans boo James Harden tonight?
Yeah, that's right. James Harden making his return to Houston. There's going to be, I think, 4,500 fans in attendance. It's his first time back since January when he was traded to the Nets, which somehow feels like that was 3 years ago, but I guess was only a couple months. Whatever. So the question is, should they boo him? And my answer is a resounding no. And here's the thing. I understand it's frustrating. I understand that the Rockets have lost, what, 11 in a row, and that they're not doing great, and that you could see it as James Harden who broke the team. I understand things were messy right before he left. Here's the thing. If there's anything that this last year has taught us, it should be that life is short. This is the second best player in the history of your franchise. Tillman Fertitta has said they are going to retire his jersey. He is iconic to your franchise. He loves your city. During the recent issues in Texas is the word I'll use to sum it up as quickly as possible. He was very active in the community, making sure that he was providing as much as he could and helping people out because he still feels connected to that city. And sure, as a fan, you can be mad. If you feel mad at him, you're justified in that. But I would say that staying mad is only harming you. And the fact that we haven't been able to have fans at all at games for a season, to now have the ability to go to a game and to use that chance to let a guy know that you're mad about something he did a couple months ago, that's just going to make you guys look petty in the long run. You're going to celebrate him when they retire his jersey. I know nothing I'm saying is going to make any difference, and they're probably going to boo him anyway. Somebody else talk.
Yeah, no, it's problematic for me because, see, I've been sitting here counting the number of rings that Tom Brady won for you and your fan base before he left to Tampa Bay. And you know what? It's more than one, right? It's more than zero, actually. And that's how many James Harden brought the fans of Houston. And so what I would say is, if I am just a citizen of Houston, I'm not booing James Harden. If I am a Houston Rockets fan, I'm booing the bejesus out of him because not only did he not get you where the fans thought he would get you as a scoring leader, as an MVP, he got you to the Western Conference Finals. And say what you will about it being Chris Paul's fault for getting hurt, James Harden infamously has the games where he did not perform when it mattered in the playoffs. But here's why I would boo him. Not because he didn't perform in the playoffs. Because he destroyed your franchise. And there are other ways to get out of this thing. There are other ways to move on. Look at Bradley Beal. He might move on. He might not. But look, the Wizards are not a ruined franchise. This Rockets franchise was absolutely ruined. He was everything to that franchise. And now that franchise is absolutely nothing. Their best player, Christian Wood, he thought he was going to have a breakout season, come to get a little bit more of a spotlight. Now he's on one of the worst teams that hasn't won since February, and he's back to having no attention whatsoever after coming back from his injury. So if I'm a Rockets fan, I'm looking at this like, not only did you not live up to expectations, not only did we not even get to a finals when it felt like we were the best team, one of those Warriors years, but you left and you set the place on fire. Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and boo. And if I'm one of those 4,500, I'm going to boo even louder because I feel like he's going to hear me more than he would have any other year.
My general opinion on these things is that you shouldn't boo here. Like, these are people making decisions for their lives. I understand, like Izzy said, they're going to boo the ever-loving hell out of them in this spot. And I can see the reasons why. The thing I would disagree with is there are other ways to do this. Like, Bradley Beal is a great example because guess where he still is? In the middle of that Wizards team that he would probably like to not be on and that we would like to see him someplace else, not on at that point. And this is the difficulty we're seeing happen in the NFL right now. There aren't a lot of ways to force your way out of these spots when you're a player in the current setup and the current landscape of all of this. And so I can look now. James Harden has more than justified his desire and his reasons for wanting to leave. We've seen that apparent, and we've seen it borne out already in a short sample size in Brooklyn. And so that's the only thing I disagree with, that there was another way for James Harden to get what he wanted in the timeline that he needed for this to happen.
Well, I was laughing at this part because he was pointing at to the other departures in Houston and saying, hey, I could have done it differently, as if Deshaun Watson, now granted, he's doing, a lot of people are on Deshaun's side here, right, getting out of the Texans franchise, but he's doing it the same way, loud, public, and basically tearing down the franchise on the way out, because now we're examining every element of that front office and saying, hey, the Texans are a garbage franchise, these guys do deserve to leave. So I'm not sure exactly what he was saying
that
there, unless
like
he
exactly
wanted to be like J.J. Watt and just have everybody.
That sounds like his point. His point is a little bit salty, but his point is Deshaun's doing it and nobody's not taking his side. Everyone's on his side. I did it and everyone's like, I ruined the franchise. Why don't you take a hard look at that front office of the Rockets?
Do we appreciate Nikola Jokic enough?
I mean, it's a tough question to answer. I'd say as a whole, as an industry, probably not. As a person, I think he's properly rated. To me, this is a Nuggets household. It's a Celtics Nuggets household, but, you know, happy wife, happy life. So it's a Nuggets household for the moment. The Nuggets beat the Bucks, handed them a big L last night. Giannis looked like he was going to have an awesome game, and then it ended up that the Nuggets figured out how to play defense, which is the thing that they've kind of been struggling with. But Jokic is putting together quite an MVP season, it could be argued. He is now the second center ever to reach 50 career triple-doubles. Also, as noted by his coach, the games that aren't triple-doubles, he's off by like an assist. He is great offensively, struggles a little bit defensively, but it is worth considering that this guy, who's very fun to watch and is just an interesting character in a league full of them, might be the MVP. It's funny because I considered that that Nuggets fans would be excited that this is a conversation happening on ESPN in an A block. But when I asked the Nuggets fan about it, he was frustrated because he felt like, yeah, this is one of those conversations that we're going to have here on TV, but it's not going to happen. And if it does happen, Jokic will probably leave Denver, and that's not something he wants. And so I'm unclear on what we should do in this situation other than just say, man, how fun is Nikola Jokic?
Yeah, this falls into what I have dubbed Mike Trout appreciation territory, where we had that one month in the summer where, you know what? We don't talk enough about Mike Trout. We probably underrate him in the way that we talk about stars in sports. And then we spend like a week cycle doing it. We feel like he's properly rated, and we go back to ignoring the quiet superstars in this league. And that's the difficult part for Nikola Jokic, is the Nuggets, the Utah Jazz all fall into the same problem. When you're a smaller market without a marquee star playing one of the prime ball handling positions, and I know Jokic is in a spot where we just talked about triple doubles. He's doing the kind of things, having the kind of expansive game that you need in the modern NBA to succeed as a big, but you're still doing it at a place where the burden of accomplishment dictates from the outside looking in for a lot of us, until you win a championship or pry an MVP from the ranks of the others that we're used to giving it to, we're going to have a tough time giving you your just due more often than we do right now.
Well, I'm extremely happy it's a slow news day today so that we can examine this, because Nikola Jokic isn't just having sort of an underrated season, okay? And I know it's not a perfect stat, but according to PER, he is having the greatest season in NBA history, okay? He's up there in the 32 PER range, which is, 31 is the sort of magical mark that we talk about, whether it be Wilt or Michael Jordan or LeBron James. Nikola Jokic is having the greatest season of all time. Now, I know that could change within a couple of weeks here or there, but it's obvious that this guy should be leading the MVP here. You've got Joel Embiid, who everybody's talking about because he's focused, because he's, a lot more efficient with his shooting, because Ben Simmons doesn't, take the ball from him anymore, that he is having a spectacular season. If he continues this way and stays healthy, will definitely be the MVP. We're sitting here talking about LeBron James doing everything. By now, it feels like he's doing it at the age of 47. It's still not comparing to what Nikola Jokic is doing. And if you want to throw in the uniqueness of being a center and everything else and having probably one of the most unique seasons in NBA history along with, let me repeat this, the greatest season in NBA history so far. So yes, we do not talk about him enough. He should be the leading candidate for MVP. And in fact, let's just reverse the order, put this at the top of the show, and I already forgot about what was actually there. I actually wanted to say, I was going to go with a... can you put Pablo on the green screen behind me? Because I really want to tell him that Nikola Jokic is having a better season than Joel Embiid. so that he can feel what he's doing.
Okay, I can do what I can react to what I can play Pablo in this situation. Pretend I'm Pablo and say what you would say, and then I'll be Pablo.
Okay.
Scene.
So one more time. I wish he was here because I really want to throw it in Pablo's face that Joel Embiid is not even the best center in the league this year, much less being the MVP this year. Nikola Jokic is better than Joel Embiid this year. There.
Pablo, here's the thing. If aliens landed on Earth tomorrow, Izzy, and asked you to bring them the best NBA player, are you going to bring them Nikola Jokic? No! And then I'd go get in bed and, like, stick a leg up in a funny way. Pablo, out.
Up next on HQ.
Who is the judge to tell the doctor when and how it's okay to doctor? I don't tell you, Your Honor, or whatever the hell I'm supposed to call the judge, when you walk the bailiffs over or do your little thing.
Do you question if Tyreek Hill is more impressive playing basketball than he is playing football?
I don't, but you're allowed to. Tyreek Hill is 5'10", listed as 5'10", but I'm not going to question the veracity of something relating to this man. Let's take a look at the clip.
Like, just, I'm 5'10", guys. I don't know if you sit next to me or not. But I believe the highest I've gotten when I was 19 or 20, I believe I grabbed the rim one time. But this is absolutely ridiculous. He's just like a muscle. He's just a muscle. He's wider than most guys you would say is just a muscle, but he's just a muscle.
He's giving way too much effort for someone as athletic as he is.
I mean, because he's probably like 5'5", and listed at 5'10", and jumping over these dudes. He's got the legs of like Saquon Barkley. He's got running back legs, but he's just so quick and explosive. Like, I don't understand why people get surprised when these world-class athletes can, you know, play another sport. Like, Odell Beckham can play soccer. Shocking. But, this one, just because of the way he's built, it's, like, shocking to the eye a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, this is just a reminder that every football player would rather be playing basketball. They make no bones about it. I literally would sit in a locker room at Notre Dame and listen to my teammates draft their five, their starting five from our team that they thought could beat our men's basketball team, the people on scholarship at the university to play the sport for the university. So there is no limit to the confidence of football players trying to play basketball. It's just weird to me that there was someone there filming this pickup game for no apparent reason.
Like, I feel like these guys come with their friends, right? They come to the pickup games. They come to LA Fitness. All right, we're about to go play. I'm about to go play pickup with Tyreek Hill. Tyreek suddenly gives them the phone and says, "Nah, man, you're in charge of filming this. Sit tight." Like, you're not playing today.
You get over there, and if anybody fouls me hard, we're going to have issues.
And if he doesn't go off, the tape never sees the light of day. So it's really a win-win. Yep.
Do you question if this judge was being unreasonable?
All right, so because of the pandemic, a lot of normal business situations have altered and changed, and they happen on Zoom now. Court is one of those things. All I've been told is that somebody involved in this trial is a plastic surgeon, and that's all we need to know.
What I'm looking at is Scott Douglas Green's case number 20, TRO95795. I believe Officer Monroe is present on this case as well. So unless I'm mistaken, I'm seeing a defendant that's in the middle of an operating room appearing to be actively engaged in providing services to a patient. Is that correct, Mr. Green?
Yes, sir.
Or what should I say Dr. Green, but I don't know that.
Okay, that's
so,
okay.
I do not feel comfortable for the welfare of a patient if you're in the process of operating that I would put on a trial, notwithstanding the fact that the officer's here today.
I have another surgeon right here who's doing the surgery with me, so I can stand here and allow them to do the surgery also.
Not at all. I'm going to come up with a different date when you're not actively involved or participating in attending to the needs of the patient. Let me see if I can get a different date here.
Not an automatic L. How is that not like, look, you showed up, so I guess partial credit, but not enough credit that I'm going to now cater to your need. Take the day off.
Talk about a cocky surgeon there. Like, guarantee, you know, he's got some super large boat that has some sort of name referencing his him being this doctor or whatever. It's absolutely shocking. I would say this, given what we've seen on Zoom incidents in the past, That would be the perfect time to pretend you don't know how to get out of the cat filter. They have no idea what you're doing. You look like an adorable little cat, and then you get off for your little traffic ticket.
That's not the incident on Zoom.
This was the time
to
play illiterate a little bit when it comes to the computer situation.
All I can think of now is after you brought up him being a plastic surgeon and the boat, it's got to be Bodie McBoat facelift. And besides that, I would say, who is the judge to tell the doctor when and how it's okay to doctor? I don't tell you, Your Honor, or whatever the hell I'm supposed to call the judge, when you walk the bailiffs over or do your little thing. So why are you going to tell me when and how to do the surgery that I spent 7 years in medical school to do? Get out of here.
Guys, just because Zoom allows you to attend a meeting from anywhere does not mean you have to attend a meeting from anywhere.
Tonight, 12:37 a.m. Eastern, The Late Late Show with James Corden.
Okay, so I guess we're going to look at a clip from an older show of James Corden and ask if you're interested. It's just a thing we do. Brady was on James Corden's show. He was asked about what happens when Giselle comes up to him on the field. Here's what he had to say.
Tell me the story that you told me when she embraced you on the field.
Yeah, so, you know, it's a big moment, obviously, and it's a culmination of a lot of, months of everyone working hard. And like I said, there's so many people that around us support us. And then all of a sudden the game ends and you realize, okay, the season's over. We won the Super Bowl. They're dropping confetti. And this year was obviously different with, a lot of the protocols. But anyway, we was looking for my family. And I said, where's my family? And all of a sudden I see my oldest son run over to me. Dad, you know, and I gave him a big hug. I saw my two little ones, and all of a sudden I saw my wife and I gave her a big hug. And just as I did it, she says, "What more do you have to prove?"
And what did you say in that moment? What did you say?
I just gave her a big hug. I was trying to figure out a way to change the subject really quick. I think I moved on to something else pretty quickly.
I sympathize with her. She's like, please, please, please. I've been asking very publicly for a while. Please be done. But I do appreciate that for some reason, whenever Tom Brady talks, he just looks like a deep fake. It does not look like an actual human talking. It looks like a fake person. Izzy, are you intrigued?
I mean, yeah. And look, Giselle, have you learned nothing from being married to Tom Brady? Time and score. You have to understand time and score. That is not the time, man, to bring that up. He is just celebrating his seventh championship and doing something that's never been done. He just wants all the applause, and it's just like, hey, you should give up now. No, now's not the time. I would pretend not to hear you too.
Gojo, are you intrigued?
I'm intrigued, and more of this goes to, like you said, I never know when I'm being sold or not, but at this point I'm buying into some of the weird relatability that's happened. We all watched and enjoyed Tom Brady drunkenly walking off that boat, chucking the Lombardi trophy like it was a Nerf football. But I have enjoyed now that Tom Brady is, in the only way I can say this, like me in being a big weirdo hands talker. I was amazed at the amount of hand action in that one clip there. I did not take Tom Brady for a hands talker, and so I'm happy to welcome him into the brotherhood.
Useless hands, too. They weren't really serving any purpose except reminding you that his hands can move. I'm telling you, he's a robot. He's a robot, and he's showing off his basic human skills.
Streaming online, The Old Man and the Three podcast.
JJ Redick's podcast, I believe. We're taking a trip down internet memory lane to a clip of Zion from high school where he's being guarded by an eighth grader. They talked about it on JJ Redick's podcast. Take a look.
His name is Bryson Bishop. I'll never forget that. That was our rival. And it's like late third or either fourth quarter. We're up 30 at this point. So we come out of a timeout, and he starts walking over to me. I'm like, no way. You're not allowed to do this. And when he comes over and he starts, if you saw me, I looked to the right. My principal and our, I think he was our track and field coach. I looked at those two, and I was like, are they serious?
Buddy.
And then, he found me, but What people don't know is I got a lot of respect for him for doing that. Because, you know, the team, his teammates were so out of it that he was just trying to give them energy. And, you know, for him to be the one to come over there and do that, I got nothing but respect for him for doing that. But, yeah, when it was happening in the moment, I was like, no way. Don't disrespect me like that. But I got a lot of respect for him for that.
Don't pity Bryson Bishop too much. He's doing well. Charlie, our producer, what's the update on Bryson Bishop?
He is going to Charleston Southern. He scored more than 1,000 career points in high school basketball.
It all works out for everybody. Gojo, are you intrigued?
I am. I mean, of course he scored 1,000 points when Zion left. That's like taking the ultimate weight off the bat when you're warming up here. And then going out here and cranking every ball out of the park in that spot. I appreciate Zion's condescension here. And I can't believe I respect him for doing this because I could literally tear his arms off and beat him with them on the court. I'm just amazed for Bryson that that was as bad as the highlight went for him. Like, he got a foul and he got out of that alive without ended up on the other side of a poster. And for that, I'm thankful.
And his hair stayed looking great the entire time. Izzy, are you intrigued?
Crazy amount of respect for Bryson here. I mean, look. Look at his face, the confidence in his face going out there. That kid probably willed his way to a growth spurt. That, I mean, I was never more sure that, had I seen that video for the first time, that kid was going to grow up to be something. And dang it, he did. After Zion Williamson, 1,000 career points, Charleston Southern. I mean, you never would have thought it looking at him. I mean, the haircut was pretty dope. You never would have thought at it looking at him from that clip. And look at that. All that matters is you come in with some confidence, and all of a sudden, things work out for you. And I'm sure the growth spurt, we can probably get an update on that. He's probably like 6 feet tall by now.
All right, that's it, I think. That feels like an episode. I feel satisfied. How about you guys?